Let us turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and read again verse 3. Ephesians 2, verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You see, these last word of the verse, you were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. This is what the Apostle Paul is speaking to these believers at Ephesus, and so they are called, and so here is described what God has done into their lives, and who they were once before the Lord and God saved them. And so this expression is very much connected to our continuous reading of the larger catechism. You remember we have been looking at the questions where the divines were looking at the fall, what happened after creation, and why man is in this condition, why sin came into the world, what is sin, and why sin has fallen into all mankind, not only unto Adam and Eve. These things we have been looking at in the previous months and weeks. And here we have reached question 27 of the larger catechism, which says this: what misery did the fall bring upon mankind? What kind of misery? What is it that the fall and sin brought unto us all, upon us all? Well, the precise answer of the catechism is this, and I'll read it to you. And then we'll try, with God's help, to look at three simple things. The answer is: the fall brought upon mankind the loss of communion with God, His displeasure and curse. And so, as we are by nature children of wrath, born slaves to Satan, and justly liable to all punishment in this world and that which is to come. That's a complex answer, but it is a very precise answer. And it is describing very well what is the condition, what kind of misery we have fallen into. In other words, what are the consequences of this sin that we so often speak of. So to connect our thoughts to this text in Ephesians, I'd like to summarize what the Catechism is saying to us all under three short headings. And this is, the first is communion lost, then a curse pronounced, and finally a condemnation given. So these three things are really describing for us what is the condition, what is this misery that we have fallen into: a communion lost, the curse, and also the condemnation. So first of all, the communion lost with God. You remember what we have been reading many times in Genesis chapter 3. There we have Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and they disobey. In chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, is describing what happened after Eve took the fruit from the tree, and what happened when they both took and eat of that tree. Verse 7, the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. That's so easy to read, but that's exactly a description of the great tragedy. That perfect communion with God that they had there in that garden, they could enjoy everything, they were perfectly happy, there were no mistakes, there were no nothing wrong there. But after that act, after that sin, did you hear? They heard. Did you read? That's what we read. They heard the voice of the Lord. That was their God who made them and gave them all that beautiful place to enjoy. They were no tired. They had no anger. Their marriage was perfect. But after that point, they heard the voice of the Lord calling for them, and they did hide themselves. They were afraid. All of a sudden, they were afraid of God. You see, that's what happened. That's their conscience telling them that something went wrong. Their own conscience there was defiled by sin. It was ruined. And because of this, they suddenly realized, oh, this God is going to destroy us. This God is a barrier to us now. We don't want Him. We are afraid. They hid themselves. That communion was lost. And if you continue reading that chapter 3, you go toward the end, verse 24 tells us that God had to send them away from that garden. God had to put them away from that beautiful, perfect place. And so did happen. The presence of God that they enjoyed was not to be enjoyed anymore again. Now that's the same misery. That's the same condition you and I are born into when we come into this world. We have no communion with God. When we hear His voice, we run away to the other side. When we read what He wants and what He says and who He is, we are afraid and we are stubborn. We want to close our ears and we want to go into our direction. That's who we are by nature. We have no communion with Him because we don't like it. We don't want to be told where to go and what to do. We think we know best. And so we live with sin. We live separated from God. That's who we are. That's how you were born. And so if this is your condition just now, that's exactly where you are, with no communion with God. If you are not saved, if Christ is not into your life and heart, that's where you are, exactly at the point where Adam and Eve were sent away and were afraid. Notice, I'm not going to read it now, but you all know what they did when they heard the voice of the Lord as well. They hid themselves, but also because the Lord was calling them, they made aprons for themselves. They did something so to cover up their sins, but that was no use. Because God, in speaking to them, we read after few verses that he made a sacrifice. He covered them with animal skin. He made a sacrifice. He had to shed blood in order to point and to remember what Christ would do. What they did to cover up their sins was not going to help at all. But God, in His mercy, called them and drew near to them and made aprons for them to stand before God. A sacrifice was needed there, then, and so it is needed still today. If you are to have this communion restored, if you are to enjoy the voice of God again and listen to Him and stand at His presence when He speaks, you need a blood shedding to cover your sins. That's how your heart has been defiled. That's how your pollution is within yourself. And as we have been learning so much in the past few weeks. But perhaps just as a further explanation, as a small example for the children, it comes to mind something that you are to think about when you know what purity is, and when you realize how sin has defiled and damaged your own heart. Think of a bottle of clear water. As you can look through the bottle and see the water pure and clean, ready to eat. That may be seen as your heart and your soul when was first created in Adam and Eve before sin came in. But if you take a small handful of sand from the ground and you put that into the bottle of water, only a small handful in a big bottle, that only will immediately make that bottle and that water dirty and unclear and not pure anymore. And that's what has happened since the beginning. Their hearts was defiled. They were not pure anymore before God. And if into that water, which is now not pure and unclear, you add all your sins of every day and every year, in all your life, you can see how that water becomes muddier and muddier and darker, and how you will never be able to be pure before God. That's how communion was lost. That's why communion was lost. Because of sin. Because of your defilement. Because you were not as God created you to be. So, communion was lost. But secondly, there was a curse. And again, to know the details, you would have to read Genesis chapter 3, which I don't do that tonight for brevity. But Genesis 3, from 16 to 19, only these four verses, if you want to check again at home and read these verses, you'll find what God has pronounced to Adam and Eve and the serpent. There's a curse pronounced upon them and for what they did. And the curse involved the woman herself, and because she took of the fruit and she gave it to Adam. And on the woman, the curse signified that she had to have increased pain and sufferings in all her life, through labor and bearing of children. And this was a reminder to herself that her sin was passed on to all generations. The woman received this curse. And this is what we see even in our days. For the man, the curse was pronounced on his life and how he would be live with pain and suffering for all his life to labor and provide for himself. There would be tiredness, pain, and working on the ground. And at the end of this curse, God says to him, "And from this ground you have been formed, and to this ground you will return. Death will bring you back again to the earth. We are dust, and to dust we shall return." But also another side of the curse pronounced was regarding Satan, the serpent, and the continual fight and conflict there will be between Satan and mankind. Satan and his kingdom and all his servants will always fight against us, and mankind will fight Satan, the world, and sin within themselves. Now, this is just a brief summary, but that's exactly how God cursed, because of sin, Satan and those who did disobey his word. Don't ever think for a short moment that if you continue in sin, you don't deserve anything else. Along with sin, there's always punishment attached to it. Because God is right and righteous. So, the communion lost, the curse given, and thirdly, the condemnation. Well, the condemnation is very much described in this verse in Ephesians that we have read. So if there in the Garden of Eden our parents deserved to be sent away from that place, they had to be kept away from the tree of life, because a curse of death was pronounced upon them all. They were so much at reach with their hand to the tree of life. Imagine how privileged they were. They could, reaching forth with their hands, the tree of life. And yet, because of that, each one of us has been born so far away from that privilege. The condemnation is that we will die. You and I are to die. Not only physically, but also spiritually and eternally. Because of sin, because of the righteousness of God. So, being born in this sinful condition, we all deserve the very displeasure of God, the very anger and judgment of God. Because God is righteous, because God is pure and cannot stand sin at any measure. Therefore, we all are the children of disobedience, as Paul says here. We all are, by nature, children of wrath. We deserve God's punishment for this condition. But another aspect of the condemnation is not only to be worth of God's wrath, but also to live in this condition of sin, which is basically a condition of slavery. Satan himself has the power, limited by God's sovereignty, but he has the power to keep bound to himself all those who are not saved. If you are not in Christ, if you are not saved, if you have not changed this condition in which you are born, you are under Satan's control, whether you like it or not. You are not free as you pretend to be. And we hear so much in this world the word freedom, the idea of freedom, the desire for freedom, of doing whatever we like and whatever we please, but it is a false freedom. Because everybody is born in this condition that we have described. You are under condemnation. You are under a curse. Where is your freedom? Where is your freedom going to get you? Apart from death and eternal presence of the wrath of God. You see, verse 2 that we have read describes all this and reminds, Paul reminds these believers exactly what they did and how they were before knowing Christ. He says, you did walk according the course of this world. You did walk along everyone else, heading into hell under the control of Satan and his angels, who is the prince of the power of the air. You were children of disobedience. That's what you were. And the more you think of what you were, if you are a Christian today, the more you are to thank the Lord for providing salvation in Christ, for calling you and coming to you with a sacrifice, with shedding of blood, which is bringing Christ righteousness. How priceless his righteousness is to those who believe. How much you should, if you are not a Christian, if you are still in the course of this world, how much you need Christ's righteousness. Because in God's righteousness, it is only through Him that you can be saved. It is only through Him that you can be accepted. And your sins can be washed away. Your condition can be reversed. And your condemnation has been poured down on the cross instead of your own account. That's why you are to trust the Lord. That's why the gospel is so clear in pressing and calling sinners who are born in this condition to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust in Him, because through His righteousness, God is not going to condemn you. God is going to hold you under His arms, and God is going to take you with Him and bring you in His presence for all eternity.